I feel really honored again today to have this privilege to bring you a word of encouragement. And I want to start right away with the word of God. And I want to read a word which I will use for my tonight's message. And you are all more than welcome to open up your Bibles together with me to the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And I will read the verses 11 to 15. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. God bless this word, and God bless us all with this word. Amen? I mean, he already blessed us today pretty much, no? I mean, a really wonderful service in the morning, communion service, now a wonderful time of worship, two sermons tonight. We are blessed. And still, I want to ask him to touch our hearts tonight with this message, brothers and sisters. Tonight, I want to talk about spiritual growth. And that's also the title of my message tonight, spiritual growth. So we just read in this passage here the gifts that Christ gave to his church, yeah? These different ministers. And he gave these ministers not just like that. He gave them with a very specific purpose. We just read it: to equip God's people and to build up his church. For how long? Well, verse 13. This will continue until we will be mature in the Lord, until we are put to the full and complete standard of the Christ. We will no longer be immature like children. We will be growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body. So one thing that really sticks out here in this text is that we have to grow. And we have to grow permanently. That's a process that will never stop. It will never end. Only then, when you close your eyes, and Jesus will return. John says in 1 John 3:2, when Christ appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. So the first thing I want to say tonight about this process of growing is, well, before this process can start, something has to be here, right? Because if nothing is here, it cannot start. So all the time before the process of growing, something has to be born. Most of you know that I have two girls, right? So right after my girls were born, I carried them on my arms with my wife together, she too. So after a certain time, we carried them in the stroller. After a few weeks, months, they started crawling, walking, and now I'm having a hard time catching, especially the older one. But that's not what I want to tell you here. What I want to ask you, how is that possible? Well, because these girls are growing. And hold on one second. And Jesus Christ, in John chapter 3, yeah, in this chapter here, he is talking with Nicodemus, and he's talking here about being born again, and he tells him, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. So brothers and sisters, you must be born again. And that's the first thing that has to happen so that the process of growth can start. So first of all, we have to have this event in our life, because birth is an event. You cannot say, hey, I was born from June 15 to July 27. No. In my case, I was born on June 15, and then my process of growth started. And the same spiritually. We have to be born again so that the process of spiritual growth can start. And brothers and sisters, this status of a born again makes you a child of God. And now I want to ask you, when did you become a child of God? Do you remember? Because I tell you what, because you are here every Thursday night, you never miss the Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service. God bless you for that. But these things don't make you a child of God. Because only after you are born again, you can be called a child of God. And only after that, after you are born again, and after you can be called a child of God, the process of spiritual growth can start. So in our main text, which we read, Ephesians 4, in verse 15, we read, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more." In every aspect, we will grow more and more. So that tells me that there are a lot of ways, a lot of aspects that we have to grow in, right? And tonight, for sure, I won't have the time to talk about all these aspects we have to grow in, but I want to talk about three aspects that we have to grow in. And the first one is we have to grow in the Word of God. Our knowledge of the Word of God has to grow every day more and more, brothers and sisters. Acts 2:42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What believers? Well, if you read the previous verse, you see it. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, and there were about 3,000. All these believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. When I hear this word, devoted, I don't know, I'm thinking about hard work, right? Sweat, 110%. And for sure it was like that for them, because they were just born again at that day, and they were hungry, they were passionate, they wanted to learn more and more. That's why they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, And it's exactly like after a baby is born. It needs food. It starts with milk, then after a few weeks with mashed potatoes, mashed everything, and then later the heavier food, you know? Because the kid has to grow, yeah? It has to develop, and it's exactly the same with us. We need spiritual food every single day so we can develop, so we can grow spiritually. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says here, "People do not live only by bread or by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The early church devoted itself to the apostles' teaching. Romans 15:4, we read, "Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us." But why is it so important that we are growing in the Word of God in these days? Why is it so important that our knowledge of the Word of God is growing every day? Well, brothers and sisters, it's very important, especially today in these days, because we are living the day that the Apostle Paul is mentioning in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myth. Brothers and sisters, if this trust was given to me tonight to bring you a word of encouragement, then I take this responsibility really seriously. And not only that, I take this responsibility according to 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Again, we have to grow in the Word of God, in the Holy Scriptures, every day, brothers and sisters. Can I ask you a personal question? I'm nervous. But how often do you open this book? How often do you read the Bible? All of you, God bless you. But maybe there are people who are okay with it to read it, I don't know, 3 times a week. Maybe only 1 time a week is okay, and it's not even their own Bible. It's okay to come here and to see the verses up there on the screen. It's possible, right? Next awkward question. Why do you eat 2-3 times per day? Can you tell me that? Because right now I'm looking at you and you look pretty healthy, you have a nice skin color, and that tells me that you eat at least 2-3 times a day, right? Why do you do that? Oh, you care about your health, right? You care about your body, you want to take good care of your body? What about our soul, brothers and sisters? Our soul is waiting for food. And I don't know if you know by now, but our soul does not eat at Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out. Our soul needs the Word of God. Our soul needs prayer every day. And I'm talking to those people who read the Bible maybe only once a week, only here on Sunday. Do me a favor, please. Try in the next week, from Monday to Saturday, not to eat a single bite. But then on Sunday you can eat again, no worries. Because then you can see and you can feel how your soul is looking like, how your soul feels. We need the Word of God. We need to grow in the Word of God every single day. We need daily our spiritual food. Colossians 1:10. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. May God help us to grow in His Word, and may God help us to know Him better and better. This was my first point. My second, or the next point, I don't know. What about love? Our love for each other, our love for the Lord. Is there still room there so we can extend it a little bit so it can grow a little bit more? Okay, then my second point is we have to grow in love. Our love has to grow every day more and more. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Love is the biggest commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And as I mentioned in my first point, the 3,000 believers, they devoted themselves into the apostles' teaching. And if you continue reading this verse, then you see that the same believers, they devoted themselves in fellowship. Fellowship means love, loving each other as brother and sisters. Matthew 24:12. In this verse here, we read that sin will rampant everywhere and love of many will grow cold. Sin will be everywhere. And I think you all agree with me when we look in this world around us that sin already reached the next level, that sin is on its highest, right? But what about our love? Is it right what we read here? Our love for each other, did it God already colder, brothers and sisters? At youth, or our youth from the church, they're studying right now the fruits of the Holy Spirit, sorry. And we know that love is one of the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And in Romans 5:5, we read that He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love, brothers and sisters. Apostle Paul says, let love be your highest goal. And also Paul says, do everything with love. Let me ask you this. Is love your highest goal? Is your love for your brother, for your sister, growing every day more and more? Is your love for God growing more and more? Can you say today, God, I love you more than I loved you 2-3 years ago? Our love has to grow constantly, brothers and sisters. It's like in a marriage. Who can I pick here so I'm not getting myself into troubles? Coco, you seem like a nice guy. I know, Debbie. What did you feel when you first met Debbie? You were confused, maybe. You had to go back home. Maybe you couldn't sleep. You needed 2-3 more meetings, more dates, right? Then you got engaged. That meant that your love was growing. You got married. Love was growing. Then your son was born. It grew much more. What's the next step? Grandkids, right? I'm not, no, they will come one day, because I'm also not that in that stage, but I heard this is the stage when love explodes. Yeah, so our love has to grow every single day, brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 1:22. You must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. And may God help us to do so. And may our love grow every day more and more. Because love is the biggest commandment, like I said before. It's the most important thing. Because faith, hope, don't get me wrong, they're very important too. But you don't take them with you. Because the day when Jesus comes, you don't need hope anymore. He's standing right there in front of you. But love, I think love is good to take with us into eternal life, because also there we have to love each other. And the third point, and that's the last one, we have to grow in faithfulness. Our faith has to grow every day more and more. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. Faith at the beginning stage, it's really weak, you know, it's small, it's always accompanied or mixed with doubt, because it has to develop, it has to grow. A couple months ago, my older daughter, Sarah, she jumped from the stage down on the carpet. And my little one saw her right away, and she ran on the stage because she wanted to jump too, but it was way too high for her. She was scared. So I went up to her, opened my arms, and said, hey, jump. She didn't jump right away. She said, are you sure? So then she jumped, and I tell you what, the second time, it was so fast, She was not scared anymore, because her faith grew a little bit in that moment. And the same it's with our faith. It has to develop, especially our faith as a child of God, because it's a true faith, a living faith. And if something is alive, that means it needs nourishment. It needs food, right? And what's the best food for faith? Again, the Word of God, an active life of prayer, and also these beautiful fellowships that we have here. Amen? Paul says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing the good news about Christ. Right here we see how important the Word of God is, because the Word of God makes our faith grow more and more. It's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. And also Jesus' brother Jude, he writes in his third verse that we have to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. Or Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight for the true faith. That's why it's so important that our faith can grow. We have to fight for it, we have to live in faith, and we have to walk in faith, so that on that day when Jesus will return, he will find faithful people. That on the day when he will return, he will find true faith, not religions. Amen? So these were my 3 points I wanted to talk today, and 3 more minutes, please. And so at the beginning, at the introduction, I talked a little bit about this process of growth. Then we talked about these 3 aspects that we have to grow in the Word of God, in love, in faith. So we talked about that we have to grow spiritually, and now before I end this message, I want to say a few things why we have to grow spiritually, because it would be good to know the reason, right, why we have to grow spiritually. So let's go back in our main text where we read that we have to grow every day more and more like Christ who is the head of the body. That means we have to grow every day more and more so we can look every day more like Christ, so we can become like Christ. And for that, we have to look constantly to him. We have to focus on him. Our eyes has to be constantly on Jesus. Today morning, we sang this beautiful song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And now Romans 8:29. And here in only one sentence, I can give you the response to this, why we have to grow spiritually. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. That's why we have to grow spiritually, because God chose us to become like his son. And that's also why we are meeting here, to look up to him, to learn from him, and to become every day more like him. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and give me please 1 more minute, because I want to finish my message here with 4 verses, and I want to read a word about Apostle Paul's decision for Christ. Listen to this, Philippians 3:7-11. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Amen. God bless you all.